on digital radio, on the app, on your smart speaker, on Twitter, YouTube, Twitch.tv, and Facebook. The Sportscast, Summer of Soccer.
The Top 25 Rundown presented by The Sportscast.
This is the Top 25 Rundown, and here's your host, Alan West.
Good evening and welcome to the Top 25 Rundown presented by The Sportscast. Today is June 12, 2024. If you haven't yet, please subscribe on all your channels, YouTube, Twitter, Twitch.tv, and Apple Podcasts. If you are on Apple Podcasts, please leave a rating and review. It'll help us out tremendously. We are also on DAB Digital Radio. You can listen to us on your smart speaker, play Sportscast. Visit us on the Sportscast.net. Also follow us on Twitter, the Sportscast1, and check out our app, the Sportscast in the iOS App Store. Hello, my name is Alan West. Welcome to the Top 25 Rundown. And before we get into the main part of the show, I just wanted to let you guys know that I have appreciated the different comments and just different points of view we've had on this show. And at the end of this college sports spring season, I am going to stop the show and we'll see what happens next. I have no idea right now, and that's okay. But for the ones who have watched and appreciated me and the different guests I've had on, just wanted to make sure that I gave you a heads up. Now, last week when I was here, I talked about Jerry West, how he had passed away. I'm sorry, how Bob Well, we lost Jerry West today at age of 86. And that is huge, unfortunately. Because Jerry West, not only was he an important college basketball player, he was a huge executive player, and he's the NBA logo. So even though he is not, people, we wouldn't always really think about him for college, but everything that he did in the NBA, that made sure that made a difference for everybody. Because a lot of players were there, and his impact not only has been felt in college, high school, and the pros, but just in basketball altogether. In West Virginia, where he averaged 24.8 points per game and held the Mountaineers to the 1959 NCAA championship game, being named the Final Four Most Outstanding Player, despite their team losing to Cal. He also teamed up with Oscar Robertson to lead the U.S. to the gold medal in 1960 Rome Olympics. Because of those accomplishments, he's one of only three players along with Magic and Hakeem to win a Finals MVP, be named NCAA Tournament Most Outstanding Player, and earn an Olympic gold medal. He has been into the NBA Hall of Fame three times, once as a player, once as a member of the 1960 U.S. Olympic team, and he was going to be enshrined for the third time this year as a contributor. He still is the all-time leader in total points along with field goals made, as well as free throws made and attempted. So that's something that's huge. And Bill Walton was the gentleman who I talked about last week. So Jerry West is a huge icon in basketball, and he will be missed. So, rest in peace, Jerry West, 86 years old. Now, I don't know how many of you were paying attention to the track and field that happened this last week, but If you did not, there was a story that when you were watching the last event for the men, Auburn had the lead at 40 points, but they did not have a team in the 4x400 as the last event for the national championship when they were going for the team for the team title. Because of that, the teams that were in the fourth, fifth, sixth, and second all had a chance in the last event. And at the end of the event, Florida was able to come back. They got third place in the event. Texas A&M won the 4x400. But with their third place, they were able to come back and they were able to win. Their final team score was 41 points, whereas Auburn ended up with 40 points. And that was a great event to watch for them to finish off the men's tournament for the national championship for their team. Arkansas won the women's outdoor track and field title for Division I as well. So congratulations to the Lady Razorbacks. And well, softball for the fourth time in 4 years, Oklahoma won. And not only was that huge, it's because in the 4 years that Oklahoma, these seniors that graduated this year, they won four national championships. They had the highest win percentage in Division I history. They were never shut out, and they never had any run rule losses where they were blown out. So, as Oklahoma leaves the Big 12 and goes to the SEC, we're going to see how they do, and congratulations to them. And just what an amazing and dynamic run. We will see how Oklahoma does next year. While we're doing that, let's go ahead and look at the final top 25 rankings for the year. You have Oklahoma number one, Texas number two, Florida number three, Stanford number four, UCLA number five, Alabama number six, Oklahoma State number seven, Duke number eight, Tennessee number nine, Texas A&M number 10, LSU number 11, Missouri number 12, Georgia number 13, Florida State number 14, Arizona number 15, Baylor number 16, Arkansas number 17, Virginia Tech number 18, Louisiana number 19, Oregon number 20, Washington number 21, Mississippi State number 22, Northwestern number 23, Clemson number 24, and Texas State rounds out the top 25. And now we have the Men's College World Series. It's getting ready to start. And when you look at the Men's College World Series right now, well, basically, it is going to be the ACC versus the SEC challenge. Because you had four ACC teams and four SEC teams that made it in. And the last team that advanced was NC State. They beat Georgia. That happened yesterday. They won 8-5. And they will play Kentucky on Saturday. ACC had four teams go in. They had Florida State, Virginia, North Carolina also come in, tying 2006 for the most of the single year in the conference. For the SEC, you have Florida, Tennessee, Texas A&M, and Kentucky. That's the other four teams that have made it to Omaha. So, congratulations to all those teams. We're going to see how they do. And I don't know if you were able to watch some of the games that were happening just beforehand, but see if I can. Because on Friday we had the first two games. You got Virginia going against North Carolina. You got Florida State going against Tennessee. The final, as always, is a double elimination. On Saturday, you have NC State going against Kentucky and Florida going against Texas A&M. And then from there, you'll have the winners and the losers. We'll have an elimination game Saturday afternoon. We'll have another one on Monday. And then they should have a winner either by next week. Actually, you know what? We will need an extra week of the show just because it's not going to have a champion till the 24th. So we got an extra week that we'll figure out for talking about baseball and seeing how that goes. Unfortunately, if you've been paying attention to what's been happening this last week, you would know that the Department of Justice has gone through paperwork and recognized that the NCAA made an error in their paperwork. So what they're doing is players from 2019 to now who had to sit out a year because of transferring, their eligibility was given back. The question is the players, if there are any that are still here, if they'll use it or not. We're going to wait and see about that. That was something that was announced this week. That and, well, President Charlie Baker, he is struggling trying to figure out how to set everything up and hope that he can stop the bleeding because right now the NCAA is looking more like a joke each and every day because the settlement is going to hurt them as well as make it difficult for some of the schools. But the NCAA, if they don't take this settlement, they're not going to be able to survive anymore, which honestly, they're probably not going to be able to survive very long anyway. But we're just going to have to wait and see what happens. Big news in college basketball this week was Dan Hurley. He had been courted by the Lakers to leave UConn and not try to go for their third consecutive national championship. The Lakers talked with him on, I believe, Thursday and Friday, then he flew back on Saturday. He announced on Monday he's going to stay at Storrs for another year and see about the three-peat and see what happens. So, Charlie, congratulations. Wish you the best of luck and, very curious to see how this is going to end up because you definitely are doing some amazing things there, and I'd like to see you do it again. We'll just wait on that though. In other news, also, the Cardiac Kids, the 10 players from NCAA's 1983 National Championship basketball team. They've sued the NCAA and the college licensing company seeking compensation for unauthorized use of their name, image, and likeness. They filed suit in Wake County Superior Court on Monday, requesting a jury trial and reasonable compensation. This on ESPN. The late Chimbano's 1983 team, known as Cardiac Pack, for a series close victories, culminating in a 54-52 win over Houston. All Rento style Charles Duncan in the final seconds. Lovano's run around the court became an iconic moment, frequently replayed as part of the NCAA tournament promotions. For more than 40 years, the NCAA and its co-conspirators have systematically and intentionally misappropriated the Cardiac Pack's publicity rights, including their names, image, and likenesses associated with that game and that play, reaping scores of millions of dollars from the Cardiac Pack legendary victory, the lawsuit said. NCAA spokesperson Michelle Hossack did not immediately return a text message seeking comment Monday from the Associated Press. Plaintiffs include former team players Sterle Bailey, Alvin Battle, Walt Dinsmore, Tommy DiNardo, Terry Gannon, George McClain, Cozell McClain, Walter Proctor, Harold Thompson, and Mike Bourne. Lorenzo Childs died in 2011, while Derek Wittenberg, whose missed 30 footer was collected by his teammate for the winning dunk, is a staffer in North Carolina State Athletic Department. He is not listed among the plaintiffs in the suit. The suit contends that student athletes' value to the NCAA does not end with their graduation. Archival footage and other products constitute an ongoing income stream for the NCAA long after the students whose images are used have moved on from college. The NCAA and the nation's five biggest conferences agreed to pay nearly $2.8 billion to settle a host of antitrust claims pending a judge's approval. Good for them. Good for them. Because I know even with the 30 for 30 that ESPN did, they have had people use their names so many times. And just watching that play and watching Coach Albano run along the court after winning the title, trying to find somebody to hug. I know you did the 30 for 30, which was great, which Wittenberg definitely was able to make sure happened with him working in the athletic department. But whenever you watch the NCAA tournament, or even whenever you hear Coach Albano's speech for Never Give Up, you will always look at the play and that game, because you know how big that was, and just watching Lorenzo Charles' dunk, even if he's not alive, just knowing how many times that's replayed and how many people are always seeing that. I'm not mad at them for doing this. I wish them the best. I hope that they can win the lawsuit, but it's going to make things for the NCAA be even more of a challenge, because say they are able to win this lawsuit, I can think of at least 10 or 15 other different moments that people have been a part of or done different things. They're going to follow the same lawsuit. They're going to win too. So the NCAA, they thought that the antitrust claims were the biggest thing. But if this lawsuit is accepted and it could just be the tip of the iceberg, we're going to have to wait and see about that, because unfortunately right now the NCAA needs good publicity. And they're not getting it. Sure, some of the teams are getting it, but the NCAA is just trying to be in damage control mode. Because I'd love to say that the NCAA is going to be getting out of this and they're going to be looking a lot better. I don't know how that's possible. We're going to have to wait and see about that. But it just, it's definitely not good. And right now, let's jump into college football. From ESPN, they decided they were going to do a college football most influential teams, and you got from 30 to 16. At 30, they have the 1899 Sewanee team. 29, they have the 2010 TCU team. 28, you have the 1906 Chicago team. 27, you have 1998's Tulane team. 26, you have 1941 Missouri. 25, you have 1956 Oklahoma's team. Every one of these teams that are on this list has either been undefeated or, in the case of the 1906 Chicago team, they were 4-1. 26, 1941 Missouri, they were 8-2. Like I said, 25 was Oklahoma with Bud Wilkinson. They were 10-0. 24 was 2013 Auburn with a record of 12-2, which had that year they had the kick six, and they also had the. They had the great win against Georgia as well. 23 is the 1980 Portland State team with a record of 8-3. 26 was the, 2006 Boise State team. And that had the Statue of Liberty play to win the end of the game against Oklahoma in the Fiesta Bowl, which I myself will never forget. 21, you have 1958 LSU was coached by Paul Detzel, 11-0. 20, you had the 1999 Virginia Tech Hokies with Beamer at 11-1, where they played Florida State for the BCS Championship. 19, you had 1984 BYU with a record of 13-0. 18, you had 1973 Tennessee State. Head coach John Merritt, record 10-0. 17, you had 1971 Alabama, coached by the Bear, with 11-1. 16 was 1940s Stanford team, coached by Clark Shaughnessy, went 10-0. 15, you had 2007 Oregon team, coached by Mike Bellotti, with a record of 9-4. 14, you have 1935 TCU team coached by Dutch Meyer with a record of 12-1. 13, you have the 1974 Oklahoma team coached by Barry Switzer with a record of 11-0. 12 is the 2011 Alabama team coached by Saban, record of 12-1. 11, you had 1947 Notre Dame team coached by Frank Leahy with a record of 9-0. 10, you had 1912 Carlisle team, coached by Pop Warner with a record of 12-1-1. 9, you had the 1993 Florida team, coached by Spurrier with a record of 11-2. 8, you had the 1967 Grambling team, coached by Eddie Robinson with a record of 9-1. 7, you had 2019 LSU team coached by Ed Orgeron with a 15-0 record. 6, you had Iowa Wesleyan, a 1991 team coached by Hal Mum with a record of 10-2. 8, you had the 2008 Texas Tech team coached by the late Mike Leach with a record of 11-2. Quick NBA Finals information. Boston has just won Game 3. They have a 3-0 lead. And NBA Knowledge said teams living 3-0 in the best series have won the title They're 156-0 all time. So, unless Dallas gets a miracle, the series could be over. So, we'll see what happens in the next game. Back to this top 30 for the most influential teams. This Texas Tech team, I remember this was Graham Harrell and how him and Michael Crabtree, they beat Texas on a last second catch. So, rest in peace, my sleuch. Number four is the 1986 Miami Hurricanes, coached by Jimmy Johnson. They were 11-1. Number three was the 1925 Alabama team, coached by Wallace Wade, with a record of 10-0. Number two was the 1924 Notre Dame team, coached by Newt Rockne, which was 10-0. And the number one team that was the most influential was the 1968 Texas Longhorns, coached by Darryl Royal, with a record of 9-1-1. Apparently, the reason why they were the number one team is they started the wishbone. So, congratulations to all 30 of those teams and the impact that they made with different plays off and on. Let's go ahead and take a look at how college football realignment is right now. The ACC, we now have 17 schools after adding Cal, SMU, and Stanford for the 2024-2025 season. So they have Boston College, Cal, Clemson, Duke, Florida State, Georgia Tech, Louisville, Miami, North Carolina, NC State, Pittsburgh, SMU, Stanford, Syracuse, Virginia, Virginia Tech, and Wake Forest. The Big Ten is now up to 18 schools after adding Oregon, USC, UCLA, and Washington for next year. So it's now Illinois, Iowa, Indiana, Maryland, Michigan, Michigan State, Minnesota, Nebraska, Northwestern, Ohio State, Oregon, Penn State, Purdue, Rutgers, UCLA, USC, Washington, and Wisconsin. The Big 12 is now 16 schools after adding Arizona, Arizona State, Colorado, and Utah while losing or Oklahoma and Texas for the 2025 season. So we have for them Arizona, Arizona State, Baylor, BYU, Cincinnati, Colorado, Houston, Iowa State, Kansas, Kansas State, Oklahoma State, TCU, Texas Tech, UCF, Utah, and West Virginia. So Pac-12 is now the Pac-2 after losing all but two schools for next year. Oregon State will play seven games against Mountain West schools, and Washington State will play eight games against the Mountain West Conference. So there's only Oregon State and Washington State. There were two. The SEC is now at 16 teams after adding Oklahoma and Texas for next year. So they have Alabama, Arkansas, Auburn, Florida, Georgia, Kentucky, LSU, Mississippi State, Missouri, Oklahoma, Ole Miss, South Carolina, Tennessee, Texas, Texas A&M, and Vanderbilt. The AAC remains at 14 after adding Army but losing SMU for next year. So you have Army, Charlotte, East Carolina, FAU, Memphis, Navy, North Texas, Rice, Temple, Tulane, Tulsa, UAB, USF, and UTSA. Conference USC is now at 10 teams after adding Kennesaw State for next year. So you have FIU, Jacksonville State, Kennesaw State, Liberty, Louisiana Tech, Middle Tennessee, New Mexico State, Sam Houston, UTEP, and Western Kentucky. The Mid-American Conference remains at 12 teams with no changes for next year. So you have Akron, Ball State, Bowling Green, Buffalo, Central Michigan State, Miami, Ohio, Northern Illinois, Ohio, Toledo, Western Michigan. The Mountain West remains at 12 teams but will play 15 combined games against Oregon State and Washington State, seven against the Beavers, and eight against the Cougars. They have Air Force, Boise State, Colorado State, Fresno State, Hawaii, Nevada, New Mexico, San Diego State, San Jose State, UNLV, Utah State, Wyoming. Sun Belt remains at 14 teams for the 2024-2025 season, and they are Appalachian State, Arkansas State, Coastal Carolina, Georgia Southern, Georgia State, James Madison, Louisiana, Louisiana Monroe, Marshall, Old Dominion, South Alabama, Southern Miss, Texas State, and Troy. And in sad news, Southern Miss football player MJ Daniels was killed in a shooting. Apparently, it was in an apartment complex in Hattiesburg. He had been the starting quarterback for Southern Miss last year to transfer from Old Miss. He had 28 tackles, 3 interceptions, 2 forced fumbles. He had just changed to the safety and was going to be the start. He was expected to start next year. Such a shame that happened, and thoughts and prayers go out to his family. In other news, Virginia starts 1-15-41 scholarship in honor of Devin Chandler, Lavelle Davis student Deshaun Perry, who all shot and killed after they returned from a field trip in November 2022. Virginia Athletics on Tuesday announced the memorial scholarship. Qualities his young men carried with them. The fund was made possible thanks to an anonymous donor who provided dollars. Virginia also opened a new football operations center with a tribute to all 3 players with a display on the first floor that features their jerseys. Virginia also announced that they'll pay a $9 million settlement to the families as well as 2 other students wounded in the shootings, including running back Mike Collins. The former U of A student who unfortunately did the shootings was charged with 3 counts of secondary murder, 5 counts of use of firearm on a first felony offense, and 2 counts of malicious wounding. His trial is scheduled for January, and his name is Christopher Darnell Jones Jr. The last person I do want to mention is apparently the ex-Georgia Tech AD Homer Rice, the best leader. He passed away at 97. So he was the athletic director from 1997, and he was able to hire Bobby Kremitz for basketball, Bobby Ross and Georgia Lurie for football, baseball coaches Jim Morris and Denny Hall. They want to share the national football championship, its first ACC. They won 16 ACC championships for during his time leading. He started a program called the Total Person Program, which is regarded as a model for the NCAA Life Skills Program. He has an award named after him that's presented annually to the FBS Athletic Director in recognition for significant contribution to college athletics. And he made sure that he focused on people to have student athletes grow as people instead of just student athletes focus on college athletics not being prepared for life afterwards. Well, like I said, next week we will be able to talk more about baseball, and we will have a better idea of who is going to be playing for the national championship. You can always look up different things for us on the Sportscast One. My name is Alan West. This has been the Top 25 Rundown. Have a good night, everybody.